Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
I want to welcome to NASCAR America at Home, Marty Snyder and the pit reporters this time around. Dave Burns, Kelly Stavast, and Parker Kligerman as well. And tell you what, we're getting ready for race number two, cup race number two at Darlington, Parker. So Kevin Harvick wins, but that's a day race. This is going to be a night race if, in theory, it does go off on Wednesday night, weather permitting in the Darlington area. So does that, Parker, make Kevin Harvick the favorite this time around?
Well, some of the things I saw late in that race would lead me to believe so, because as you looked at that race that started in the day, as it went sort of in the night, you know, as the sun was setting, it got to cooler temperatures, that four car came alive. So you have to think that they're feeling very confident, him and Rodney Childers, about what the setup they had in that car and how it really came alive late in that race. Another thing to add into this night race that they're getting thrown is that it's also a shorter race. And some of the cars I felt like that were really good in the long run would have been Denny Hamlin or Martin Truex. They're not going to have that time potentially in the shorter race. So not only are you throwing a different weather condition and grip level, that's going to be so much more grip into turn one. You're going to be flat out through that most of the run. So it's definitely going to change some of the things they do setup wise with all that added grip.
I tell you what, Kelly, two races in 3 days, and then the Coca-Cola 600 coming up as the third race in this mix. You think guys are up for this after 10 weeks off?
Well, that's something that really caught my attention, because Darlington is a pretty physical track from what I understand. And so to have these two back to back, and even though it is a shorter race, and even though these guys have been working out a lot, I think we heard Kyle Busch say he's been working out about 90% of the days during the 71 day break. You can't quite get into race shape till you're in a race car, right, Parker? I mean, there's nothing quite like it to replicate the feeling and the physicality of wheeling that thing around. And when we saw those onboard shots of guys absolutely sawing at the wheel, it gives you a sense of how physical it is. And Marty, as you said, we know what the Coke 600 can be like in terms of weather and the physical condition it takes. Mm-hmm. So you got to imagine these guys are going to be max hydration mode, probably already started, a couple days ago, but carrying on through the week.
I mean, Dave and Parker, chime in, because that's a great point. I mean, I think that's kind of the undertold story, Dave, of these races, these three races together, is the drivers are really, and the teams too, are really putting a lot of work in to make all these races happen.
Well, first I want to clear up the math, okay? The Coke 600, that is 600 miles, right? So you already mentioned that tomorrow night's race is shorter than the first one, but the first one's a 400, this is a 500. So I grew up with the metric system and the standard system being combined at times. So I had to do all the math. I had to ask my computer, you know, to do all the translations. So 311 miles on Wednesday night, and of course the race was 400 miles on Sunday afternoon. So, but I think definitely, Marty, what we're talking about here are a handful of races here in a row. I mean, Charlotte is no piece of cake physically, right, Parker? You know, it's a track where you have to work on it all night long too, and that's 600 miles.
There's no doubt, and that's the thing. I mean, that race will really test you. Like last year's, I think, was almost 5 hours or something over 5 hours. It was the longest race I've ever been in. So, I mean, that alone, you're destroyed the next day. After a day at race at Darlington like we just had this past weekend, you're destroyed. Your body is depleted. You've just sweated everything out. It's been so hot. You saw some of the drivers, as Kelly mentioned, you know, working in there, and you saw some of them under caution sort of working out their arms, because you get that arm pump for not being in the car for a while. So this is really physical. And then for the race teams trying to get everything prepared, get the cars ready, this is just a crazy set of races so quickly together in really hot climates. So no doubt this is a super physical time for everyone.
Parker, let's talk about teams that impressed you in the race on Sunday. I was impressed by Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, I think if Jimmy Johnson doesn't have an issue and William Byron doesn't have his issue with the tire issue, they may have had all four cars in the top five. Who knows? But what do you think about Hendrick Motorsports and their chance to be able to replicate the success they had on Sunday, as long as everybody can finish the race on Wednesday night?
Well, I think that was really interesting. And one of the cars, as you mentioned, William Byron, really caught my eye because he started off so quick and he was driving through the field. And I was like, man, he's treating this like an iRacing race, like he was dominating those Pro Invitationals. This is just going to go right his way. He needed that iRacing momentum to drive into the real series. But, you know, they obviously had some things fall apart. You saw the 88 not quite make the adjustments that they needed to contend against the four car. We heard Alex Bowman talk about that, where he just didn't feel like he knew exactly what he needed. And I think what that showed is that they just had better preparation, right? They really drilled down and found that ultimate setup, that preparation that was needed for Darlington. But what's going to happen is the four cars got notes. Joe Gibbs Racing's got notes now. Everyone's got notes. And so they're going to have to find a way to improve from what they brought that first time, because you know Team Penske is going to find something that they didn't have in that first one on Sunday. So there's definitely going to be improvement. They're not going to be able to rest on whatever they brought there that time because it didn't win the race, right? If they had gone out there and led every lap and won the race, maybe that would work, but they didn't. They got beat. So Hendrick Motorsports is definitely going to have to find a way to up the game. I think Joe Gibbs was great on the long run, as I mentioned, but they're going to have to find a little something. So it's going to be interesting who shows up and improves from that first one.
So Dave Parker mentioned it. Team Penske, that's who caught your eye Sunday. Why did they catch your eye so much in that race?
Because they needed that improvement that Parker was talking about. You know, it started out great. Brad drew randomly and got the pole, Brad Keselowski. So that's a great start. He leads laps. He wins a stage. But he reported afterwards that his car just went to the loose side. There was nothing he could do to really keep it in contention. That was his side of the story. Ryan Blaney was never in the hunt really much, but it was for the opposite reason. His car wouldn't turn. So his car was tight, as was Joey Logano's, coming in on the momentum, if you can cause a momentum after a 70-day delay. But two wins already this year. You know, Joey was riding pretty high coming in, but, of course, his car had that problem on pit road late, a loose wheel, so they had to repit. And his car as well wouldn't turn. So opposite problems between the three Team Penske cars, and now a chance to work on that. You know, the drivers may be taking a little rest, maybe hydrating some more, getting ready, but the engineers have been going crazy trying to figure out, as Parker said, how to use the data that they now have and then apply it to a racetrack that transitions into the night tomorrow.
Kelly, I think you can make an argument that Ganassi might have been maybe the most impressive under-the-radar team. Kurt Busch with a nice top-five finish. But how about Matt Kenseth? A top 10 for him in his first race back and never had driven in this package. I mean, to me, that's so impressive. Can they make that even better on Wednesday night?
Well, that's what I'm wondering is, like, now that he actually knows what these cars feel like with this package and the tires and everything that was new to him, how, like, we're about to find out just how good Matt Kenseth is. Not that we needed a reminder, but he had been out of the car for 18 months. And that team really did catch my attention because, you know, I think Kurt Busch has typically made more of a result at times than where they ran, but it felt like he was in the mix, running up in the top 10, if not top five, most that day. And that top, it was a third place finish, was really earned. So I think under the circumstances of everything that team has been through in the last 71 days, for them to put together that performance, to me, stood out just as much as the Hendrick did. I was surprised by Hendrick's performance, and for Jimmy Johnson to be up there. I mean, I know Twitter exploded when the 48 car took the lead, which was fun. But yeah, that Chip Ganassi Racing team, they've proved, these two old champions definitely have still got it. And with the two of them now working together and sharing information, I'm really excited to see what they can do moving forward.
So what do you guys think? Top five for Matt Kenseth on Wednesday night? Think he could pull that off?
Well, he could. I mean, he certainly is capable, and I think he showed that with what he did on Sunday, but that's a pretty tall order. I'm not willing to go there yet.
go ahead, Parker.
I want to jump in to say, if we're going to call out top fives, one guy that caught my eye, and you know what? He has to be going into this race with a ton of confidence, Tyler Reddick. I mean, that was an incredible drive out of the rookie in the Cup Series. And I just got to think he's got to be going back there sort of so excited, being like, man, I did that day. What can I do this next time? So I think he's got to be really excited about Darlington.
He loves a racetrack where he can slide around, doesn't he? He just loves that type of place. Darlington's his kind of place. And really, you got to give Ryan Newman credit as well. He showed speed. He showed the ability. He ran up into the top 10. They obviously had a tire issue as well. So you got to give Ryan Newman credit as well. All right, guys, any final thoughts, any predictions maybe on Wednesday night's race? Parker, we'll start with you.
Ooh, predictions. I'm going to say we'll see a different winner for sure. I don't see the four car repeat beating two in a row. And I think it comes out of possibly the Toyota camp. So that gives it one team.
There you go. Kelly, you got a shot at it?
He just stole mine. I was going to say.
You take it. You take the same one.
But since he already took that, I'm going to say that the little things that kept a Hendrick car out of victory lane is what will get them there. It could be Chase Elliott tomorrow night.
Dave?
It's going to be interesting for Eric Jones because Chris Gayle will not be his crew chief tomorrow night. He was suspended because of two loose lug nuts at the end of the race. So it'll be interesting to watch and see what E. Jones can do minus the crew chief.
I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr. I think he showed so much speed, seems to be good at the nighttime at Darlington, so I'm going to go with Truex. And I'm not sure if Parker took him or not. He just said all the Toyotas, so I'm going to narrow it down to one Toyota driver, Parker, for my pick.
Good choice.
Thank you. Make sure you check out Dale Jr. Download. You can watch it before the Cup race tomorrow night. Kurt Busch, Kelly talked about him. He finished third at Darlington on Sunday. He is the guest this week, and you can check out NASCAR America at home immediately after the Cup race Wednesday night with Steve Letarte, Jeff Burton, and Dale Jarrett. You don't want to miss that. Thanks for joining us for NASCAR America at Home, Pit Reporter version. We'll see you next time, guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.